Our text this evening is found in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll be considering verses 9 to 13. Last week, we looked at verses 5 to 8. So verse 9, Hebrews 12, verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." So we're in a series of sermons on the doctrine of adoption, and we're considering last week, and then again this evening, this theme of family discipline. This is one of the privileges, one of the benefits that fall to those who are the adopted sons and daughters of the living God. And so we looked last week at verses 5 to 8. We saw there we're to be remembering discipline. We looked at responses to discipline, both wrong responses as well as correct responses. And then we looked at the assurance of discipline, the way in which it verifies to us, it testifies to us that we are the legitimate children of the God of heaven, of our Heavenly Father. And so we saw the need, if you will, and tonight we look at the fruit that flows from that. Discipline is painful. Discipline is painful. And you look at folk who have physical pain. Perhaps they've had all this preparation to go in for hip surgery. And they go in and they have this surgery done and they come out the other side and they tell you, "I can't even begin to explain to you how badly it hurts." And yet it's part of the process leading toward their healing, to the physical restoration, the use of their body, their mobility, and so on. And so it is. Discipline is painful. And there are times when we say, "I can't explain to you how badly it hurts." And yet if we're trained by it, then the result is healing. It is the Lord working in us to bring about a positive, a beneficial, a loving, an enduring benefit to our souls. And so here the author of Hebrews, he comes to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he meets us where we are. He meets us in the real world and in real world circumstances. And in discussing this whole matter of discipline, we are no more excited about it than our children are, than you children are, when your mom and dad want to talk to you about discipline. And so the Lord comes to us and he meets us where we are. And he provides, in the remainder of this text, he provides energy for us and he provides grace and he provides motivation and he moves out of the way obstacles and he drives us forward so that we are prepared, willing even, to embrace the rod. And so we see him at work in this family discipline. Look, first of all, verse 9, we see submitting to fatherly discipline. First of all, verse 9, submitting to fatherly discipline. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Subjection, submitting to fatherly discipline. Now, why is submitting significant? Why is submitting, bringing ourselves under, yielding to God's discipline significant? And the reason is because it's difficult. And the reason it is difficult is because discipline, as we've said, is painful. Verse 11 says, it's not joyous, but grievous. And yet the pain and the fruit in this passage are interlinked. You cannot have the latter without the former. You cannot have the fruit without the pain that God uses to produce the fruit. And so there's this model that's given to us in our text. He speaks to us in terms of what we know in our own experience. He says, look, you had parents. You grew up. You had parents who disciplined you, and you heeded them. You had to be trained and corrected by them. You gave them reverence. How much more a perfect, spotless, unerring, sinless Father in heaven who is seeking to bring about life. He says it's painful. It's the significance of being in subjection is the fact that it's painful. And just like parents who don't use pain in regular discipline aren't really disciplining their children properly or biblically, so too in the Lord's dealings with us. You honored your earthly fathers. How much more your heavenly Father? Your earthly Father used discipline and it was useful for this present life. Your heavenly Father is using discipline in order to sanctify you for eternal life. Long term, far better, far more glorious fruit. And so he says, submit, be in subjection unto the Father of spirits. Don't resist the Lord. Don't seek to ignore the Lord. Don't undo what the Lord is doing in your life, but comply, follow, yield to what God says. And if you go back to verses 5 to 8, can be seen there as well. And what are the consequences of this? The answer is found in the last word of the verse. Life. The consequences are life. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? What are the implications of that? There is nothing more fatal than refusing to submit to the Lord. There is nothing that puts your soul at risk more than refusing to obey and to trust and to yield to the Lord's dealings with you. It is deadly business. And so yield, he says. We need to be submitting to fatherly discipline in order that we might live. You know, our children say to us, just like we said to our parents growing up, "But Daddy, it hurts. But Daddy, it hurts." And we say in different words, but we say in essence, "I know. I know it hurts, but it will bring fruit." And we don't use that particular language, but it's similar to what's being conveyed here in this passage. Well, the question is, it's easy to say, okay, we can see we need to be in subjection. We need to submit to the Lord. That's clear enough. We can see that. But what helps us? What motivates us? What enables us to submit to the Lord in these things? And that brings us to our second point, the benefits of fatherly discipline. He gives us benefits to help woo us, to help motivate us, to help bring us to where we need to be. He says there are benefits. Look at verses 10 and 11. "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." He says, one of the benefits, you have to begin by recognizing that there's a purpose behind the pain. This isn't just some, you know, cosmic joke. This isn't just some, you know, spastic infliction of pain in your life. God has a very clearly defined, efficacious purpose in our pain. In other words, as we saw last week, there is a loving hand of a loving Father that is behind this discipline. And that ought to be a source of relief and a source of comfort and a source of increasing our trust in Him. Notice that he says that the discipline is brief. He says the discipline is brief. "Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous but grievous." Verse 10. "Verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure." There's a brevity to that. And yet the fruit lasts a long time. The sting of the rod is significant. It's painful. It makes you sit up. It brings tears. But the sting passes very quickly, whereas the fruitfulness lasts and lasts and lasts for a long time. So look at the benefits. First of all, there's the immediate benefits in verse 10. The immediate benefits. He says that it is for our good. It's for our profit. But he, for our profit. In other words, God does absolutely nothing with us, to us, for us, but what will help us, but what is profitable for us. Now, our earthly fathers were quite different. They would chasten us when they shouldn't have. They would chasten us to a lesser degree than they should have, or to a greater degree than they should have. Or they would have not chastened us when they should have. And we find ourselves in similar circumstances. But he says, not your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father only chastens you for your profit. There's a perfection in it. It's always for your good. It's always going to help you. But he also tells us it's not only for our good, it's for our holiness. Another immediate benefit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And in other words, the Lord is using the rod, he's chastening us in all the ways we described in last week's sermon, in order that we might share in his holiness. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. And one of the means that God uses in order to enable us to share in the holiness that is his is this work of fatherly discipline. You think even at just at the most basic level, how this plays out in our Christian experience. You think about the closeness to the Lord that comes because of real difficulties and difficult episodes in our life. The Lord comes and he brings the sting, but then there's also the display of affection that comes with that. Think of children after they get spanked. Sometimes there are those precious moments afterward where there's the reassurance and the expression of affection and of restoration and of love and so on. There's a sweetness in that. He's saying, this is one of the benefits. You will become like Christ. You will be made more and more into his image. The point is that if we do not value holiness, we will not value discipline. If you don't value holiness, you won't value discipline. But vice versa, if you do value holiness, then you will see the immediate benefit, both our profit and our holiness. But then secondly, there's also a subpoint under the benefits of fatherly discipline. We see the ultimate benefits. The ultimate benefits. Now, no chastening, verse 11, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There is an ultimate usefulness that comes as a benefit. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. This is the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit being born in our life under the means of grace. And that fruit, of course, takes time. You can plant a bush in your yard, and it'll take years before it bears fruit. Everywhere we've lived, except for the place that we're in now, we've planted, every house we've owned, we've planted blueberries. And you wait 1 year, you have to pick all the blossoms off. 2 years, you pick the blossoms off. You're waiting for it to be a stout. Third year, you get a little bit. Fourth year, more. It takes time. This fruitfulness, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The Lord is at work in us. And he's producing fruitfulness in us. And sometimes when we're going through all the pruning process and all the where the Lord is cutting us back, as it were, and the pain that comes with that, we think, what is this all about? We look ugly after pruning. We feel the pain of the pruning. And it's not until you bite the fruit that you see that it tastes like peace. You see, here is what the Lord has been about. Now that I savor the sweetness of this fruit, I can see what he's doing. But there are permanent benefits as well. Verse 11. There are permanent benefits as well. He says, unto them which are exercised thereby. Another way of saying is that those who are trained by it. Those who are trained by God's discipline. Have you ever noticed, I'm sure you have, that the word discipline and the word disciple, you can see even with your eyes, are related to one another. Discipline and disciple. God's discipline in our lives is what makes us well-trained disciples. Those who are exercised by God's discipline. And there's a sense in which he's casting his eye back again, as he had earlier in this chapter. He's casting his eye back to this athletic imagery again. There's the training, the discipline that comes, the self-control and so on, these fruit that God is bringing about in our life. So there's immediate benefits, and there's lasting benefits, and there's eternal benefits and permanent benefits. And the Lord's saying, you have to not just look at the temporary sting. You have to have your eye taking in the horizon, all the benefits that God is actually bringing to you, in order for you to be motivated to submit, to yield to what he is doing. But then thirdly, we have the encouragement that is derived from fatherly discipline. Verses 12 and 13. The encouragement that is derived from fatherly discipline. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You can go back to Isaiah 35, verse 3, and to Proverbs 4, verse 26, to see Old Testament parallels that the author is obviously drawing upon here. Having shown you as one of God's children, having showed you the benefits, he then points to its purpose of healing. The reason God is at work in this way within the life of his people is for the purpose of bringing about healing in our life. He's saying, don't allow resentment to swell up. Don't allow despondency to swell up. He's saying, be encouraged. Be happy, if you will, about what God is doing with you. Don't be cast down in his dealings with you. God is intending healing here. And so you have this picture, don't you, in verses 12 and 13 of this, of bracing the body, you know, the weak limbs needing to be fortified, to be strengthened or braced. It's a picture of this spiritual resolution to meet the adversities that we face. Not wilting under God's chastisement, not throwing in the towel under God's chastisement, not fainting, not desponding, not resenting, but rather being carried forward in strength. God is providing healing in your life. It's like the don't fear the stick of the needle. You know, if you're getting, let's say you've gone into anaphylactic shock or something, and you're about to die, and they give some shot to bring you out of anaphylactic shock. You have some horrible, deathly allergic reaction. Don't fear the sting or the prick of the needle that's in front of that shot. That's the means to life. That's going to bring about healing. God is providing healing. He's saying, I intend for you to be strong. I intend for you to go straight. I intend for you to cast off despondency. I intend for you to be able to press on. I intend for you to be able to encourage your fellow Christians and to carry one another along in this great race that you're engaged in. So in verse 13, he says, run on Christ's straight path. Lest what? Lest you get off Christ's path, and getting off God's course, your bum ankle ends up really being twisted on the uneven turf next to the road. He's saying, run in the path that Christ has set before you. And so there's the encouragement that is derived from fatherly discipline. The purpose is healing. And so what, in summary really, what's happening behind all of this? where it's the love of God is being manifest. You know, we see the love of God in His provision. We see the love of God in His pity. We see the love of God in His display of affection to us. We see the love of God in His protection of us. We see the love of God in all these sorts of things. There's a loving, tender, sympathetic, gracious Heavenly Father. And the author is saying, even in the one instance when you are most tempted to doubt His love, behind the rod, when you're being chastened by Him, the author says, even there, even in that place at that time, it is the love of a Heavenly Father at work in your soul. So we're left with the Apostle John, as we saw at the beginning of this series. Behold, behold, look, the wondrous love that God has shown unto us. This is a staple part of our Christian life. God's chastening hand, God's discipline. It's just bread and butter, part of the Christian walk. You have the Christian, they're chastened lovingly by the Lord. You have the non-Christian, they're left to perish in their sins outside of Christ, to suffer eternal punishment and damnation. The purpose is to direct our eyes to Christ, to see it for what it is. Look at this loving display of all the benefits that God has shown. Submit to His discipline. Rejoice in it. Crave and be encouraged by the healing that He is bringing to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, again temporary, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here is the Lord, fatherly, family, discipline, submitting to fatherly discipline, the benefits of this family discipline and the encouragements that God intends in this discipline. May the Lord help us to prize this along with the other benefits, privileges that come to us as the doctrine of adoption teaches us, sons and daughters of the living God. Let's stand for prayer. Our gracious Lord and our God, we again come to You as our Father in heaven, our loving Father. And we are thankful that You love us enough to pursue our holiness, even at the cost sometimes of our chastening, to pursue the good of our souls, to train us, to disciple us. We're thankful, O Lord, for Your loving dealings with us. And we pray that You would help us to prize this spiritual adoption, to prize what it means to be a child of the living God. Draw at our hearts, we ask, in this. Quiet us, comfort us, deepen our trust in You, and bless us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.